We do not see things as they are, we see them as we are. In her lifetime, she was an oddity. For one thing, she was a woman who wrote explicitly about sex from a female point of view. Her work included frank portrayals of illegal abortions, extramarital affairs, and incest, all of which she wrote about without judging her female characters. That's brave in 2021, but in 1940, it's career suicide. Like all truly unique talents, she was worshipped by some, hated by many, and misunderstood by most. Born to Cuban parents, her mother was a famous singer, and her father, a downright scoundrel. And her life was spent moving around the globe, which built her resilience and set her bar for adventure impossibly high. And also, shameless authenticity bloomed. She said, "Life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage." And her diaries told of an independent, courageous Bohemian woman on a sensual and artistic journey. She caroused with expats in Paris in the 30s and Greenwich Village's artistic milieu in the 40s. But was it all a type of performance art? She was secretly financed by her banker husband, and she committed bigamy for decades. This woman seemed to live several lives all at once. She was the first female modern performance artist in a pre-selfie culture. She carefully edited her diaries to fashion her now famous image and freely and openly shared it with anyone and everyone. In some ways, her diaries were just as much fiction as her novels and stories. But devoted readers took them as gospel. Many women readers, in fact, saw themselves or who they wished they could be in the eye of her stories. Her diaries, her pages filled with passionate descriptions of a life fully lived. When the world was aflutter with banning Lady Chatterley's lover, she said, "Imprisoned in our flesh lives the body's own genie, which Lawrence set out to liberate. He found that the body had its own dreams, and that by listening attentively to these dreams, by surrendering to them, the genie can be invoked and made apparent and potent." She delved the literary circles of Paris and New York. She made her way from the East Coast to the West Coast, and she hung out with the beatniks and experimented with LSD. We're exposed to her first-person accounts of some of the most intriguing personalities of the 20th century, as she had a penchant for immersing herself, if not even anticipating the zeitgeist. She was married to two men for 11 years. She dated men like Steinbeck, Gore Vidal, and made careers of writers possible. She paid all of Henry Miller's living expenses for a decade while he wrote Tropic of Cancer. And half of her own words were self-published. Henry in June, for example, is the unexpurged diary of her affair with Henry Miller and his wife June. She, the ultimate goddess, always connected to her femininity. Her erotica, much of which was written in the 1940s for a private collector who paid a dollar per word and made for a portrait of a fiercely independent spirit, a driven woman, flamboyantly living in a male-dominated artistic circle. And she wrote deeply introspective passages about the nature of the self that still prove poignant to this day. Some suggested that she used embellishment in her diaries and rendered herself through rose-colored glasses as a means of seducing men, life, art, the public at large. And it worked. She even discussed in one interview the making of her legend, leaving many to flirt with the idea that much of her life was a well-practiced strategy at gaining the admiration of others. She toured the country, gave speeches, and led readings of her work to devoted hordes of female fans. Though some found the doctoring of her diaries to be deceitful and problematic, it can also be taken as a symptom of the inherent conflict that arises when trying to live one's dreams out in the confines of reality. "How difficult it is to be sincere," she wrote, "when each moment I must choose between 5 or 6 souls." And this truth, the truth that we all have versions of ourselves we choose to reveal at different moments, that what we desire to be doesn't always align with our current occupation or station in life, that the self you are born as can change, suffer, evolve, and take on multitudes of shapes, is perhaps ubiquitous enough to matter more than the biographical details. What's funny? The source of her independence came not only from a man, but a man she'd been married to since 1923 and had made all of his money as a banker. He is never mentioned in her edited diaries, though, even though she remained married to him until her death. She famously said, "I believe one writes because one has to create a world in which one can live. I could not live in any of the worlds afforded to me, the world of my parents, the world of war, the world of politics. I had to create a world of my own, like a climate, a country, an atmosphere in which I could breathe, reign, and recreate myself when destroyed by living. That, I believe, is the reason for every work of art." She was alternatively labeled throughout history as a transgressive female or a radical feminist, even though she never considered herself a feminist. History hasn't always been kind, and some people deemed her too much of the wrong kind of good thing with the wrong people. And in a world when feminist blogs don't exist, slut-shaming had no name. But when we admire someone, we want them to stand for something, to have a creed that we can get behind. And if she lived any philosophy, it was to be in the constant pursuit of one's dream and to create a world you wish to see yourself thriving in. She can hardly be faulted for knowing exactly who she wanted to appear as, what kind of life she wanted to lead, and then committing the portrayal of that persona until her death to the page. In reality, she's doing what most people do today on Instagram, blurring the lines of life and fiction. Whether the life we read about is true or not, she made herself into a canvas of sorts and became who we needed her to be. Through her, we got a little bit closer to the wild world of art, passion, and controversy. Anais Nin is a modern rebel, not because her work has changed, but because the world has changed to make room for her work. Like many great experimentalists, she wrote for a world that did not yet exist, and so doing helped to bring it into being. She also said, "If what Proust says is true, that happiness is the absence of fever, then I will never know happiness. For I am possessed by a fever for knowledge, experience, and creation." Anais Nin, a modern-day rebel artist, a modern-day feminist, a modern-day rebel.